Amen. Good to be here this evening, and thank God for what I've already felt and heard, the good singing that we've already heard, and the opportunity to come out and be with you again this evening, and to be able to stand before you. Thank you for your prayers this morning, and for your time. Thank you for praying for us, most of all, and being with us. If there's ever anything you don't know what to pray for or pray about, I could always use God's people's prayers. So many things going on in our lives today that we need the prayers of our people, but we are a blessed people. I feel very blessed this evening, and I'm going to turn over to 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and read some scripture there, but I'm thankful today, and I heard a man say not long ago, and I was listening to something, and he said he was speaking before a great crowd, and he was a speaker and speaking about Christ, and first thing he stood up and he said, we're a blessed people. And he looked at the crowd and he said, who got up this morning and took a shower? And people all over the place, he said, about everybody there, he said, you're a rich person this morning. And I thought, and he, you know, I can't see him, I'm not watching him on TV, I'm listening, he said, you're rich. He said, because the majority of the world we live in don't know what running water is. We're a blessed people today. And we live in a country where there's so much prosperity, and now that we've, I believe what 9/11 did, honestly, and thinking about that, I believe it humbled our country. I believe it helped people look and say, as great as our country we have, as much as we have, we're not outside of the realm of being able to be struck by evil. And over in Timothy there, and who believes here today that we're living in perilous times? We're living in the last days. And you say, well, you're getting ready to read some scripture there where he says, we're living in perilous times and evil times, and that was back in Timothy's days, thousands of years ago. Yeah. Time doesn't mean that much to the Lord. It means everything to us.
Yeah.
But in our lives, we're here, it just seems a short while. The average lifespan is 70 years. But we hear day after day of young people going out of this world. So, you never know. I thought yesterday, and I'll get to my scripture in just a minute, I thought yesterday I was at work, and I work at an environmental haz waste facility, and I was out dealing with some chemicals, and it just seemed like the thought went through my mind. I thought, who knows what I'm breathing in? We don't know. And I thought to myself, who knows what's going on in my body? But I do know this today. I do know where I'm headed. I do know what I have down on the inside. I do know that it's real. And I do know when the scripture says in Timothy chapter 3 there, in verse, starting in verse 1, listen to what it says. And listen if this does not sound like the times that you and I are living in today. It says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Verse 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having, and this is what got my attention reading scripture, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And you may see that. I appreciate you standing this evening. But that sounds to me like the times that we're living in.
Amen.
The Bible says that over there when Jesus talked about the end times, he talked about diseases and earthquakes and all these things in diverse places. I've never seen a time in our life where you turn on the news and some natural destruction. I think it was just the other day I turned on and never heard
And I'm sure there have been, but I guess a typhoon over in Japan had hit. The tsunami. I never really heard much of tsunamis until it had hit a few years ago somewhere.
Yeah.
Now earthquakes all over the place. Just not long ago, just down in on the East Coast in Baltimore. Hurricanes all over the land. Let me tell you this today. If there was ever a time for you and I to awake and be on in God's business and be about the Father's business, it's the time that we're living in.
Yes.
We're living in perilous times, and that's what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. He was telling him there, we're living in times, in evil times, times where we don't know what the next breath holds. We don't know what the next thing holds. I went out just the other day and went out to my van and opened up the van door, and all of our stuff was laid out all over the seats where someone had broken in. We're not all around us. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Just going around the lands and all the things that are happening today, God tells us about in His Word. He tells us what to look for and what to expect. See, that's why He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word to help us to understand what we're facing and what we're going through. I want to tell you this today, but there's no greater thing than to have God's Word leading and guiding and directing you and I in the ways that we should go. But I've started to read and started to think just a little bit about some things that you and I need as God's people in these last days that we live in. And I thought about some things and I've read some things, and there's some things I want to share with you. And we've got plenty of evil going around today. Plenty of things happening. We have young people going out daily, on a daily basis, with drug overdoses or with this or with that. Even young ones, even a football player just not long ago, a young man in high school was in a game and fell and had a heart attack and died right there in the field. I want to tell you this today. I want to tell you that the times that we live in are not of a surety. But there's one thing I know today. I do have a surety in Jesus Christ and what He's told me and guided me. I can't leave my family without God on my side. And there are things, Brother Puckett, that I look at and I'll wring my hands and I'll stress and I'll worry. That's just the way I am sometimes. And I've asked God to help me with it. But it's just something I'm dealing with and something you deal with sometimes. But God knows what we need to humble us and to get us right where He needs us, to get us focused on Him. But I'm going to tell you this today. There's never been a time when I turn to God and I ask Him to help me or help my family. There's never been a time that God's turned His back on me and never heard my prayers. Sometimes we think that our prayers go unanswered. But I want to tell you this today. Some of the greatest unanswered prayers are some of the greatest things that's ever happened to us. Because God knows today what you and I need. He knows what we're facing today. And I'll get into my message here in just a minute. But I tell my children all the time. I told Hannah one day, I said, Hannah, I said, God just doesn't give us rules just to give them to us. And sometimes people say, well, God just does things and tells us things that we can't have fun. I want to tell you this today. God tells us things to keep us safe and to keep us into His will. Because God sees yesterday and today, and He sees forevermore. I want to tell you this today. I don't know what my children are going to face tomorrow when they go to school. But I pray every morning God will watch over them and protect them. I want to tell you this today. To our young people, I always tell them, I say, the reason we watch beer commercials and they'll show us all the fun and all the partying and all the happiness and they'll show us all these things. But what they don't show us is the one down on the streets that don't have anything, that's lost everything because of the drugs and the alcohol and those things, that they've lost everything they have. I want to tell you this way. God knows what we need. He knows what lies down in the future.
Yeah.
And sometimes we ask, why can't we do this, Lord? God knows. And if there's anything that you and I need, there's some things that we need to show. One thing that in the last times that we live in, these perilous times, we need to show a little character like Enoch. Turn with me, if you want to, over in the book of Genesis. Enoch wasn't much talked about in the Bible, and we don't hear much about him today. But I want you to hear and listen to the character of Enoch today. Let me say this today. This kind of affects me sometimes when I'm preaching God's Word, because I don't want you to think anything of it. But let me share this with you. There are times that I'll go back and I write things down and I look at them and I just do that. And sometimes I get worried, well, what are they thinking when I'm doing that? But I want to say this today. I like to get into God's Word, and God gives us enough sense to take notes and to write them down and to try to get us to where we're at. But let me tell you this today. In the book of Genesis there, listen to what it says about Enoch. In chapter 5, starting at verse 21. A little character like Enoch. See, let me say this today. In our character today, it's not being on top of a man. It's not being the president of something. It's not being on, look at me, look at my character. We look at some of the high and mighties that live in our land today. But even those that are on top of the mountain, we think sometimes the great athletes and the great presidents and the great leaders of our world, they're going to fall and falter. Their character is being watched. But listen to what Enoch did there. And Enoch lived in what the Bible describes as evil times. Enoch lived in a time where it wasn't easy to live for the Lord. But it says in verse 1 that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And in verse 22 it says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. What the Bible says there, it says Enoch walked with him. See, that's all we need to know today. Yeah. That's all we need to know, that Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. In a time where it was tough, and times were tough in that time, even when Noah stood back in the days, we think we got it tough now. And we say we look back. But I want to tell you, these men stood, some of them, in a time where no one was for God. Everyone was against God. But it said Enoch walked with God. What is the character that he showed there? That he walked with them and he fellowshiped with them. When I think about that today and walking with the Lord, I think of having fellowship and having, just like you talked about, churches being able to come together in unity of one mind and one accord, one spirit, one Lord, one baptism. It's all because of him today that I can come in and feel the freedom that I have today to preach the gospel without the Holy Spirit. And that one Spirit, I couldn't preach to you today, but it's that one Spirit that brings you and I together. Why, preacher? Because it comes to the heart. What we preach today comes from God up on high. And one thing we need to realize is that we walk with him and we have fellowship with him. And when we leave this world, one thing I remember about my dad, and I was a young man when he died, the one thing I remember about him, he was a man of God and he walked with the Lord. And that's the only thing really I can remember. All I remember as a young boy is going to church and hearing about Jesus and going and looking at my dad, sitting down and reading his word and praying to the Lord and asking God to help us. My sister told me yesterday, she said, there was a time when a man came to the door with alcohol in a bag. And my dad told him, said, listen, you're going to have to leave that outside. That's not going to come in my home. My dad, when he stood for something, he stood for it. But that's the kind of character we need. And he said, well, let me tell you this today. It makes me proud when people ask me who I am. And I'll tell them my dad was Benny, Benjamin Franklin, Moyers. And they'll ask and say, he was a good man. He was a godly man. That makes me feel good on the inside. But the thing I want today for people to see is that I walk with God. That's the most important thing that he left behind for me, was to know that you walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Bible doesn't say much about Enoch. Didn't say Enoch was this great leader. It didn't say Enoch was this or that. But it said Enoch walked with God. That's what it says about him. And really, to be honest with you, that's all I got to hear. In that time, as Enoch walked with God, and Jude, over the book of Jude, talks about him. And then over the book of Hebrews, it talks about him. About Enoch. please God. And when it was time for Enoch to go, Enoch was a man who never saw death. Enoch was translated. He went to heaven without even dying. And I believe that was God's way of saying, I've got victory over this thing. I've got victory over death, hell, and the grave. But that's the kind of character we need. I coach basketball at Norwood, and I listen to coaches sometimes. But what really strikes me sometimes is when I hear a coach talk, and they got this care down in their hearts for young people. And they got this care that you know it's not just about the game of basketball, but there's something down deep within that unifies them and helps them. I remember listening to John Wooden one time, and him talking there, and just the love that he showed. And he would always say, and they would ask him questions, and he'd always come back, and he said, well, it's about those young men. If it weren't for those young men, there would be no John Wooden. And he all gave thanks to God, and not only that, but he had a love so deep, and you could just feel it in him. And they would talk to him, and they'd talk to him on Focus on a Family, Dr. James Dobson, and he sat there and they interviewed him. And when I listened to him, he wasn't even talking much about basketball, but he talked about what his daddy had taught him, about the creed, about how you treat people, and how you do things, and some of the things he said. And John Wooden said there, he said, one thing my daddy taught me was to read and to drink from good books. And he said, the Bible being the number one. And he said, he taught me how to treat people and how to live. Let me tell you this today. When I think of my young kids and what they look at, they don't care what I say to them. They want to see what if I live, what I live for today. I saw and heard, and I shared this on Stone a couple weeks ago. And see, we got to be real careful about the character that we show out in the world that we live in. People don't care what we say. They want to see what we have on the inside. They want to see that it's real and that it's tested. This faith that we've put in God, is it true? Or is it just something that's a crust that we live on? And when the hard times come, we crumble just like everyone else. And but they said there was this man. He was on something the other day, and he was being interviewed, and he was an atheist at one time. And they interviewed him there. And they asked him a question. They said, well, you were brought up in church, right? And Rob was a young man. He said, yes, I was brought up. We went to church every day, every Sunday. I think he said every Wednesday we'd go to church. And we'd go there. And they said, well, why in the world would you become an atheist if you go to church and you hear about God? He said, because when I went home, I didn't see anything different in my mom and dad. He said, there was nothing there that showed me that this God is real. And so he said, I just decided I'm going to go my own way. And he said, one day I got so tired of hearing about this God and this Lord, he said, I went out to disprove him and show them that what they're believing in is not real. It's not the real thing. And he said, when I got into study about it and read about it and start to learn back in history and start to go through all these things, he said, I came to the conclusion that this God, he's a real God today. Let me tell you this today. We can believe there's a God and live the most defeated life today. But I want to tell you, if we believe in God and believe in Christ, we need to believe that he's going to bring us through.
Amen.
He's going to bring us through.
Yes.
We just got to show that character. My Sonny and I shared this just not long ago. Sonny shared with me. She said, she's talking about my sister Brenda. And even in losing her son, she said, Mike, I just don't understand it. She said, she can go to church and still praise the Lord. See, the faith that we have on the inside will help us to still overcome these things. That we still can praise. Yeah. Well, she still knows who she believes in today.
Yeah.
Just like Job there. Job had lost everything. And then this character was at there that questioned his character, questioned everything about him. And even at one point, his wife looked at him and said, Job, just curse God and die. Just get it over with. And Job said, no. He said, even though the Lord take my life, he said, even though the Lord take my life, he said, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to follow him. Let me tell you this thing. There's no other person I can follow today but God today. I try to follow him sometimes and try to see what they're like. But let me tell you this today. As good as people want to be today, they're still going to fall and falter. But I want to tell you this today. God has never failed me. God has never let me down. Everything he says in his word is true today. perfect, but we need to walk with them. Our goal, our purpose here on life is to know Christ and to draw closer unto Him and to have fellowship with Him. Probably the most embarrassing thing or the hardest thing on Adam there, when he tried to hide from the Lord in the garden there, and the Lord called out, "Adam, where art thou?" He knew where Adam was. He just wanted to hear from Adam. He just wants to hear from you and I. Adam knew he was ashamed of where he was at. He was ashamed of what he had done. That's what sin does to you and I. It'll make us ashamed. It'll make us guilty. It'll make us feel those things. But I want to tell you this today. Instead of God came walking in the cool of the day, I want to tell you this today. When I fall and I falter at times, I felt God's presence in the cool of the day. When I felt like there was nothing and no one to turn to, and everyone turned their back, I want to tell you this today. There's only one answer I've got for you. Ask Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only answer today.
That's right. Amen.
I've heard, and you know, I see people and loved ones that have gone through things and maybe battled addictions. And we all have our things that we battle, if we just be honest. We all have the things that we battle. But I know of people, and they just think that they just give up. What's everyone going to think? What's everyone going to say about me and think about me? And my only answer to those people is, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. It only matters what God thinks. I want to tell you this today. There is one answer that you can give. God loves you. God loves you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. God loves you and I. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm glad God never turned His back on me. I'm glad His arms were wide open. And I'm glad that that promise that He made to me, someday after a while, when this life is over, you don't have to weep for me. And I tell people all the time, you can enjoy yourselves and worship the Lord. Because where I'm going, if you know Jesus Christ, I'm just a step ahead of you. If you go before me, you're just a step ahead of me. But for some time, someday, you talked about it down here, we come together in unity and we worship together. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a time where we're going to worship and thank the Lord forevermore. And there won't be any other thing in our mind but what Jesus has done and living with Him day after day. Time in heaven is nothing. God is outside of time. He says it'll be eternal. See, we're living in a time that's perilous. And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing surprises me. And just like the Bible said, sons and daughters turn against mother and father turn against daughters, and all these things going across the land. And it breaks my heart. And sometimes I look at my children, and sometimes when they get their attitudes and they look at me and they start to give it to me, it breaks my heart sometimes to have to discipline them and to see the tears begin to roll down their face. It does. It breaks my heart. Sometimes I can't let them know that. But let me tell you this today. The best thing ever God did to me was to let me know that I'm going to discipline you and I'm going to treat you as one of my children. And sometimes the greatest thing we can ever do for those that were around in our character is to show them hard love. Show them a love saying that we're not accepting what you're doing, but I still love you. Character. What kind of character do you have today? What kind of character are you living in today? And I think about that sometimes, and I look and I say, Lord, and one of the things that I tell my Sunday school class is, teaching and coaching basketball has taught me more things, I think, in my life than most anything. It showed me how to treat people. It shows me, on the outside looking in, it shows me what it's like, not just to show the game of basketball, but that when kids walk up to you and they glow and they hug you and they shake your hand and they respect you and they come to you. And just a parent this afternoon, where it's fine, that's not too much horn, but I like this because it makes me thank God it's all about you. But this little girl is walking up to her mom, and her mom says she's actually thinking about playing this year because she knows you're going to be the coach. You're one of her favorites. It's not about basketball, but it's that they look up to you and they see something within you. And I just like what you said this evening, that your light can shine out on the inside, though those around you and can see something different within you. I want to tell you this today, if we're a child of God and people don't see something different in us, there's something wrong.
Right. That's right.
Right. He said, be the light of the world. I don't want to be the light of the world. Well, when you became a child of God, you signed up.
Yep.
People are going to watch you. Just like Charles Barkley, the great NBA player. He said, when I became an NBA athlete and became one of the best players in the NBA, I didn't say I was going to be a role model. Excuse me, Mr. Charles Barkley, but when you became an NBA basketball player, you signed up for that.
Yeah.
That goes with the territory.
Right.
That's what you and I have. The second thing we have here that I want to talk about this evening, we need to have a zeal like Paul. Paul had a great zeal about him. He had an unction to go and keep going. And he said, well, he persecuted the church. I'm going to tell you this faith. When Paul, his name was Saul back in the Bible, and he was back there, he was in the law. He wanted to learn everything he could about the law. He wanted to learn every dot, every I, and cross every T. He wanted to know everything about the law. He was one of the highest religious leaders of that time. In the Word. He learned about it. He studied it. He was, even when he went to persecute the church, he felt like he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. I want to tell you this today. You and I can be deceived just like the next one. That's why we got to stay in this thing. But Saul thought he was doing the right thing. And when he was on his way on the road to Damascus there, and had this deal and said, and he was at the stoning of Stephen there, and he was at the feet of that, and he said, stone him, do away with him, get rid of him. We don't need it. We don't need to hear about this Christ and this man called Jesus. And on his road to Damascus there, had letters in his pocket, going to persecute the church there. And on his way, God showed a light all about him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He got his attention there. And he didn't get any blind and saw there. And then we know the story how Saul became Paul. And then after that time, Paul had a great zeal. For what? For the Word of God. Because when Paul went to do something, when he believed in something, when he went after something, he had a zeal to go all the way with it. See, he had a lot to lose. Saul had a lot to lose because he was a great leader at that time. He could have said, you know what, Lord? I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I can't do that. All these people turn against me. They'll come after me. And that's one of the first things the people did there. When Saul gave his life to the Lord there and began to preach the gospel, first thing those people wanted to do, the Jews there, they wanted to kill him and get rid of him. But God had another plan. And then not only that, Paul becomes one of the probably the greatest writer in the Bible that we have today. Let me say this today. He had a zeal about him. He had a want-to about him. He had a desire in him. He said, when I'm going to believe in something, I put my faith in something, I'm going to go all the way with him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did.
Amen.
God puts things in the Scripture to help you and I, to help us to grow. Why does he put Enoch in the Bible? To help us to see what we need to do. We need to walk with him. Why does he show us Saul, who became Paul in the Bible? To show us that we need to have a zeal about us. And when we believe in something, I want to say this today. If you've got a belief and you believe in Jesus Christ, we need to have that zeal today. Have that zeal to let people know what we have on the inside. Well, now you say, well, I don't want to go around and Bible, be on people with my Bible and tell them I'm a Christian and I'm this and that. That's not what I'm saying today. You know what wins people to Christ today? It's the love that we show them. Love overcomes multitude of sins. Love will show people what's down on the inside. How do I lead people to Jesus, Mike? You lead them by showing them you love them and you care about them and that you want to see them. Get right with the Lord. I want to tell you this thing. If you follow God in anything in your life, anything you do, young people, when you go out and you go to do things, when God puts you in situations and puts you in places, there's a reason for that. God can get glory no matter where we're at in our lives.
Yeah.
People say sometimes, it was God's will that I become a preacher. God's will I become a teacher and all these things. Well, God knows that we also need doctors and engineers and plant workers in all these places. You say, I don't feel like I have a place. But see, let me tell you something today. God puts us in places where we can shine a light. We can't all be leaders. We can't all be presidents and CEOs and high-ranked coaches or high-ranked teachers or this or that. We can't all be that. He knows where to put you and I.
Yeah.
I had a hard time sometimes coming to grips with that. And then a small man was talking about that. He said, God puts us in places where he can get glory in our lives. A friend of mine told me one time, he said, God can get glory in everything that we do. And I said, everything? He said, everything. Everything that you and I do, God can get glory. When we get up in the morning and we shine our face and we smile at our children, God gets glory. When we show love to others, God gets glory. When we do all the little things, when people see something different within us, see us overcome the things in our life, God gets glory. It's not all the big things. I will say this today. You were saying just this evening about these children, about giving out the clothes and all these things. I want to tell you, those are some of the greatest things the Bible talks about, is to give and to help those that are in need today. I want to tell you this today. Probably no greater light shines in this community than when you reach out to them and say, we care about you and we want to help you along the way. I want to show you this today. That's God's love coming out of you. And don't ever that people look at you and don't see God in everything that you do. They see that. They see the zeal that you have. What kind of zeal do you have today? What kind of want-to do you have today? The other thing that we need to look at today is conviction. What kind of conviction we have? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had great conviction about them. Over there in that land, Nebuchadnezzar had built that great statue there, built of gold, great and humongous to look upon. And Nebuchadnezzar there said, when I blow the trumpet, when I blow and you hear the music play, you bow down to this statue that I've built. Everyone in the land, bow down, and you bow down and you worship this statue. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had some conviction about it. They knew down on the inside that was not right. That wasn't the thing to do. And when the music played there, they could have just kind of fit in and have kind of been around people and said, well, you know, boys, let's just get down here. Let's just bow and just act like we're worshiping this image that they built. But no, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a little conviction about them. And when people got down to worship that statue there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't go along with the crowd today. See, that's the problem sometimes today. We want to go along with the crowd and do what the crowd is and do what the crowd is, knowing the conviction down our heart, knowing that's not what God wants us to do. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went before the king there, and the king said to them, he said, now boys, didn't I say to bow down and worship? And they said, yes. They respected the king. Yes. And he said, the next time you hear it, you boys bow down and worship. You know what they told Nebuchadnezzar there? They said, king, you might as well not even let us go. They basically told the king there, the next time it plays, we're still not going to bow down. Knowing what they were facing. Knowing that they're facing a fire furnace. Knowing that God, he could bring them through, but he may allow them to go ahead and face the fiery furnace and the effects of it there. But I'm going to say this today. When we think that our conviction, God, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal about what I feel down on the inside, this conviction I feel about what's going on. Lord, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, honey. It's not a big deal. We don't need to do that. But what's the Bible say? It said they went through the fire of Christ. Without a stench of a smoke or anything, they came out untouched, unharmed.
Yeah.
And those people in that time looked at them, and what Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, anyone who touches these men and the God, and if we realize that God is who he said he was, see, God will get the glory. God will get glory out of everything we do. Those boys could have fit in, and no difference ever there. But see, they knew what God had. See, there's convictions that we have in our life. Things that we have down on the inside that we know God would have us to do. And we think it's not a big deal sometimes. I've even done it before. But there's a reason God gives us these convictions. There's a reason why we have those today. And I want to say this today. We need that conviction within us to know what God wants us to do, to live the life God has to live, and to say, I'm not going to be a part of the crowd. God. I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to worship this God. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to live my life for Him. And he said, well, it's tough. It's tough. We go into work with unbelievers all around us. We go to school with unbelievers all around us. Well, there's missionaries over in other lands who put their lives on the line not knowing if they're going to make it the next day because of what they preach. Put their life on the line what they believe in. Why? Because they have conviction about it. They know that this God that they're preaching to people is what they need. And they know that people need to hear the gospel. That I hear right tonight, he preaching, that gentleman over there that he talked about this evening, preaching to Muslims. How much faith does he think that takes? To stand up and preach the word of God to Muslims. The greatest wars and the greatest battles we have are over religion today.
Yeah.
Over Jesus Christ. Over what things. Don't you think what's going over in the Middle East? And people say, I want to see peace in the Middle East. I don't think you'll ever see it. I don't think you'll ever see it. I'm going to say this today. You say, well, you talk about those times of 9/11. I will say this. Those men that took those planes, they had a conviction to them. It was evil. But they put their lives on the line. That's what's going on in the world today. Someone taught them that. Someone taught them and raised them to say, you're going to give your life up for this. Never told them it was evil or deceitful. But said, you're going to give your life up for this. Why? Because we don't believe in this God. We don't believe in this Jesus that they talk about. So you're going to give your life up. You're going to take this down. You're going to do this way. But let me tell you this thing. Thank God there's men and women willing to go and tell people about Jesus. Willing to go across and preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. I wish that we had more people with more conviction going across the land and talking and saying and saying, tell them about this Jesus. That would be go ahead. And let's get a song and sing. Conviction. Zeal. Character that we have. Not only that, but faith. The Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith.
That's right.
Noah, in the time that he lived in, and he stood there, and at that time, the water misted it out of the ground. And would water the ground there that they lived in. Can you imagine God coming to Noah one day and saying, Noah, I'm going to flood this land. I'm going to flood it, and I want you to build an ark. Noah probably thought, as my Lord, you're crazy. God, I can't do that. But I've seen a Bible where he said anything. Where Noah just kind of went and did his thing. I'd be saying, Lord, people make fun of me, but Noah showed great faith.
Yeah.
And he began to build the ark. He began to build this great boat. Can you imagine the people walking by and the ridicule that Noah took because of this ark? Noah, what are you doing there? What are you building there? And I've seen movies about it sometimes. And we'll say, people will come and come around Noah, and then there he is building him and his family. And begin to build the ark of people coming by and ridiculing and saying, making fun of him. What are you doing, Noah? What are you doing? But back there in that time, Noah just kept talking about the Lord and preached unto him about the Lord, who he was. And Noah, he had great faith in him. And he knew he was living in evil times and perilous times, living in a time where people just didn't believe in God. Even though God is the Almighty Creator and God's done all these things, God brings us out of situations. There are still people today who want to turn their back on God and say they're atheists today. I want to say this today. There's going to come a day where there will be no more atheists. They'll see Jesus face to face. My Bible tells me every eye will see, every tongue will confess. They'll realize he is who he says he is. I want to say this today. But if you don't know him in this life, that time will be too late. And I begin there. Could you imagine?
again, and Noah was building an ark. And he said, told his family, probably, just keep the faith. Just keep on building. Just keep on doing what you're doing. God, I know, is going to come through for us, just like he has in the past. And they can still begin to build. Could you imagine the people there when the heavens opened and the rain began to fall? What they thought at that time. And Noah shut the door, and the people probably clawing and scratching, saying, Noah, let us in. Let us in, Noah. We believe you. But let me tell you this way. Faith is not what you see, but it's the unseen things that put faith in us. That's what faith is. Having faith in the unseen. Knowing God is who he said he is. And Jesus Christ, he said, well, if I would have seen him, I would have believed. Even the time I saw him and didn't believe at first. Even the disciples, they questioned and walked with him. And there was others that walked with Jesus at that time. And their faith was tested. And they walked away from it. Let me tell you this today. It's the faith that we have in him that's going to get us to the other side.
Amen.
He even talks about his word. He said, Thomas, and you can play. He said, Thomas, he said, you believe, you felt the side, you felt my hands. And he said, you believe. He said, but Thomas, greater is those that have never seen and still believe.
Right.
Still believe.
Amen.
People ask us all the time, how do you know it's real? Not a man at work who tells me all the time. And I'll say this, and I say it all the time. The Lord, he knows our every need. He knows you and I better than you and I know each other. He knows us from how our head and the bottom of our feet. He is the instruction guide. He's the manual that we can go to. If I have something in my home and it's not working right, I want to go find the manual and find out what's wrong with it. If I want to find out what's going on with my life and where I need to grow, I want to go to the one who created me, the one who made me. He knows what I need today. He knows I can't father right. I can't be the husband that I need to be without knowing him. And there have been times that I've gone through life and I thought, I'm doing everything okay. I'm being the husband I need to be. But there are times that God humbles me and says, nope, that wasn't showing love the right way. You know how hard it is sometimes, even my children, to go to them and say, you know what, guys, I was wrong. I should have done it that way. I heard a man the other day, and I thought this was one of the greatest things that I ever heard. He said, there have been times in my life that I've gone and I've said something to their mother out of context, or said something I shouldn't have, or treated her a way that I shouldn't have. He said, I've gone back to my children and said, boys, I want to apologize to you. Why, Dad? Because I treated your mother with disrespect. See, it's every part of our life. Everything to do with us. And God's given me responsibility. He's given you and I responsibility. He's given responsibility to raise my family and raise them the right way. I'm not always the best father. I'm not always the best husband, brothers. And the one thing I can say is I know who one is. I need to trust today to get us through the hard times. Marriage, sometimes, it's a hard thing. Sometimes you don't know how you're going to make it the next day. Or this or that, the other. And it's just like anything else you do, and I promise I'll shut up in just a minute. But I say a lot of times when I'm coaching, I'll say, go back to the fundamentals. Go back to what we taught you. Go back to those. Even in the NFL and professional sports, they say that. And then God got a hold of me one day, and he said, well, if you're going to teach that, then what about me today? Sometimes we've got to go back to the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've got to go back to what he's taught us. Some of the things that we learned maybe back in our childhood. But sometimes when I'm going through things, something rings through my head that maybe my primary teacher told me when I was a little boy. And they taught me there. My children come out of Sunday school every Sunday, and they tell me something that they learned. They listen to what's going on. They listen to everything that we do today. And I thank God that he's allowed me to be with you all today. Thankful for what I can feel down on the inside. And I just want to be what I need to be. And I hope I've been a blessing to you today. You've been a blessing to me. Thank you for your prayers. I love you. I'm glad I got to be with you today. And I love what you said. I love when one of the greatest things about preaching the gospel is going out and meeting more of God's people. Meeting more of them. And knowing about them and just feeling that love. People think it's odd sometimes. That I'll hug maybe someone and they'll be at work or something. They'll say, did you just hug them? Did you say you love them? Because it's my brother and sister. I can tell them that.
Yeah.
I love them. I love each and every one. God has told us to love not only those that are in the faith, but he said, love your enemies.
Yeah.
He said, it's easy to love those that love you back. He said, but love those who despise you and persecute you. Love. Never fails. There's a reason he said it. The Bible says love never fails. Love doesn't boast itself. I love you today. God bless each and every one of you.
Do you have a thing?
Mm-hmm.
You're done?
I'm done.
So am I. Anybody got anything? If not, fellowship for a little while. Go home. Rest up. See you later. Good to be with you. How's Mom doing? She good?
Yeah, doing good.